This is... It's My Death, My Rhythm, My Arithmetic. An American Idol Season 8 alternate universe story, written by Sepperus and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated NC-17, contains the pairing of Chris Allen, Adam Lambert, and bears the following warnings. Graphic depictions of violence, including semi-explicit use of knives, unsuccessful suicide, self-harm, and vampires and blood play. The first time, it was 2 weeks, and he was 2 hours late. He hadn't meant to be. He hadn't known how much it would hurt. It was too much for one body to have held. Even Chris, slumped against the wall, bare feet slipping on the blood-smeared floor of the bathroom, walls painted in long, rusting streaks, plaster gouged out inches deep between the brighter splashes like sunbursts, the mirror scribbled over in minors like a guitar that had learned to scream. Even the overwhelming smell of it, sweet and metal sharp, couldn't distract him from the way Chris looked up at him, skin bleached, colorless as moonlight, a silver-handled paring knife stolen from the kitchen sliding between wet fingers. As he said, confused, "I keep trying and trying, and it doesn't work. It never works." Kneeling in a cooling puddle, Adam eased him off the blood-soaked rug and into his lap, shaking at the sight of a network of open wounds like a map of the LA highway system, new and fading and almost closing that stretched from shoulder to wrist. Chris had hummed softly, watching without interest as Adam took the knife from the small, sticky hand and shoved it through the floor. "What the fuck were you trying to do?" Chris frowned uncertainly, reaching up to draw one rust-stained finger over Adam's mouth. "Die? Why can't I remember how?" There are ways to deal with the sensory overload of touring when you're still a public persona and not hiding in the fucking basement like a rat. Sunglasses, earplugs, a radical change in fabric choice, and incense to cover the riots of scents that come from pretty much everywhere. Adam has his second tour starting in only months, and coming out to perform with Megan had been both educational and frustrating as fuck. He's gone through half of Megan's incense collection trying to find something that masks the disorienting mix, but doesn't induce nausea. Which, hey, he didn't know he could still feel. Christ. Getting out yet another stick. Vanilla cherry patchouli? What the ever-loving fuck? Adam nearly drops the lighter at the flare of familiar frustration and black rage, as bright as a beacon and almost close enough to touch. Straightening, Adam feels the post-performance lethargy vanish, pulling out the earplugs absently as he goes out the door, ignoring the sudden cacophony of noise backstage to try and narrow down the location. It's been a long time, and tracking like this is frustrating with all the sensory input he has to work through, but he can pick up the faint sounds of raised voices, one angry and pleading, desperate, a familiar staccato heartbeat and quick breathing, then a hard shock of pain and fear and, oh, fuck that shit! Security obviously hasn't been paying attention when they were told exactly what to do if Chris Allen showed up, and touching him hadn't ever been part of it. Rounding the corner, Adam sees Chris trying to jerk free of security guards twice his size, and just about succeeding on sheer rage. But when bloodshot brown eyes flicker up and see Adam, he stops fighting, oblivious to everything and everyone else, even when the big hands squeeze around his wrists so tightly they grind bone on bone. They should have paid attention. Let him go and get the fuck out of here. Chris doesn't so much as look at security as they loosen their grip, backing away with quick, mumbled apologies. Faces hopefully averted, like there's any chance that Adam won't remember what just happened and who was responsible. That's for later, though, not when Chris is standing right there, And even though he's here now, there's every chance this fuck-up shocked him out of whatever got him this far in the first place. Hey, Adam says softly. Taking even one step might mean Chris vanishing for another long year, but Christ, he wants to. Knowing the consequences that Chris would suffer in theory is a world away from seeing the brutal reality reflected in Chris's body. So thin he just escapes emaciation, half circles like fresh bruises beneath red-rimmed eyes, the faint shivers of exhaustion and habitual chill chasing each other over across his skin beneath the ridiculously oversized flannel, wincing from even the dimmed lights here. It pisses him off all over again to think that Chris chose this, that living like this was preferable to coming back. Not looking so hot these days, baby. Chris stops, the glazed eyes clearing briefly. Looking around the newly deserted hall, he shakes himself, crossing his arms with another faint shiver despite the layers of shirts. Adam remembers seeing him from the stage, bundled up against a night still summer hot, surrounded by girls and boys stripped down to glittery tank tops, sweating, gleaming on every inch of visible skin. To someone who knew what they were looking at, it was as good as a billboard. I don't know what I'm doing here. Biting his lip, Adam thinks vicious thoughts at security for stopping him when he was so close, at whoever he's been with that didn't do shit to take care of him all this time, but mostly at himself for letting this happen at all. Slowly, Adam unfastens one of his bracelets, and Chris's eyes widen and fix on the skin of his wrist with unwavering attention. Oh, he remembers this, stumbling a step forward before catching himself on the wall with one trembling hand. And the yearning on his face hurts, because he can have anything he wants. Adam would give him anything. He has to know that. And he'd still stayed away. And if Adam hadn't been here tonight... Chris licks his lips, blinking rapidly before he tries again. How is everyone? Of course, very Chris. They're fine. Worried about you. Chris's eyes flicker down. Hey, don't do that. Look at me. Baby, you can't go on like this. Manage this long? Chris cracks a faint smile, as much amusement as agreement. I'm just so tired. Nothing ever stops. You knew what would happen, Adam answers softly, leaning against the wall. What's the recovery rate again? Chris's head snaps up, the faintest pink coloring his cheeks. Fuck you. Yeah? Adam tilts his head, watching Chris take another step before stopping himself, mouth tight. That too. Chris's eyes unfocus, fingernails digging into the concrete. Adam can smell the blood rising up, proto-bruising forming beneath the skin of his fingertips. Chris is a full sensory drug all on his own, and Adam doesn't think he can be blamed for never finding anyone that compared. I don't want to be here, Chris whispers. He doesn't even believe it himself. It would have been true 6 months ago, though, and maybe even three. Maybe it would have been true if Adam had done anything else but wait and let Chris work it out for himself. Tell me the recovery rate. Chris turns, slumping against the wall, sinking toward the floor with the inevitability of gravity, like surrender when you realize that even if you had a choice, you'd still want to. Less than 1%. Adam pushes off the wall, watching Chris track him until they're only inches apart. Chris tilts his head back tiredly. He has never been intimidated by height or strength or even his own sense of what Adam is. Crouching, Adam reaches out, cupping the too thin jaw, eyes narrowing when Chris flinches. "You'll love what I've done with the place since you left," Adam whispers, stroking gently. "Basement's all done, just for you. You'll have to tell me what you think when I take you home. I'm open to suggestions." Chris smiles slowly, bloodless lips stretching like cheap plastic. "I always wondered if you even realized how much you've changed. Do you? Do any of you?" Adam pulls back, rubbing his fingers together at the coolness clinging to them from Chris's skin. "It's not true. He hasn't changed. But Chris never did know what was best for him." "I can leave you here if you want," he offers. "No one will bother you anymore, and you can find your way back out." "The funny thing is," Chris whispers, smile fading, "nothing worked, and I tried everything. I know I used to, that there was a reason to try. I just don't remember it anymore. Do you?" That's almost enough to make Adam forget the anger altogether. He can't help touching him, and this time Chris doesn't flinch away. "Baby, why are you doing this to yourself? Who let you get this bad?" "You think I'd let anyone?" Chris's eyes feathers shut, skin nearly transparent, eyelids a roadmap of tiny pulsing capillaries, matching the soft blue veins at his temples, prominent beneath skin as fine as paper. "You did this to me. No one else could ever. I didn't want anyone else to. God, do you want me to say it?" Adam won't make him beg. Not this time. He won't even make him ask. "I know." Adam runs his knuckles down Chris's throat, listening to the soft hitch of Chris's breath, the quickening pulse beating against his fingers like a caged bird, frantic for an escape it shouldn't even know to want. He can afford to be gentle now. "Come on," he murmurs, straightening. "Time to go." Chris doesn't move for a second, eyes opening and bright with terror and mistrust, and everything that kept him running for far, far too long. Then, slowly, he extends one thin hand. And that's enough. That's more than enough. That's everything. He feels too light to be more than a shadow or a memory. Pulling him into his arms, Adam takes a surprised breath at how small he feels. So much more than he remembers. All fragile bones and too human frailty, but still Chris. And fuck, he's missed him. And until now, he couldn't admit just how much. "That's it," Adam says, when Chris tentatively wraps his arms around him. Tight, tight. "I'll take care of you. I'll take care of everything." The second time, it was 3 weeks, and he'd been 6 hours late. This time he'd meant to be. He'd thought to stay away longer, as punishment and reminder both, but he'd forgotten how much it hurt, and he couldn't stand for Chris to feel like that, not ever. The fire had taken half the house before it was stopped. Chris had been sitting in the middle of the bed in a circle of wet gray ash and soaked smoldering wood, plaster falling around him like a blanket of fresh snow, one narrow foot stretched out in front of him with a steel cuff untouched, chain trailing uselessly to what had once been a wall. The burns are nearly gone. Adam had thought he'd stripped the room of anything Chris could have used, but then again, he'd never been a Boy Scout. Chris had smiled when he'd tossed him the rock that had decorated their dresser for days, and it's not like Adam would have known Flynn's in a glance. "I know the statistics," Chris had told him, eyes wide and almost clear. "I just don't think I remember how to care." No one's around on the way back. Someone was paying attention and cleared the area, which is good because he doesn't want to deal with any interruptions. Chris curls up in a tiny corner of the couch, knees drawn up against his chest, shivering and quiet, as Adam locks the door. Sending off a quick text to Megan to see him before she goes out tonight, he drops the phone on the dressing room table, and then Chris looks up, eyes wide and still terrified, and that's not acceptable, not now. "I never wanted to hurt you," he says, easing down on the edge of the couch, pressing his thumb against the too fast pulse. Chris shudders all over, eyes squeezing shut like it hurts. Then he's in Adam's lap, mouth soft against Adam's and sweet even now, frantic and restless, and oh yeah, he's not the only one that missed this. "I'll do so much better this time." Chris makes a helpless sound and bites, dull-edged teeth sinking into his jaw, grinding down against the bone until Adam jerks his head back and licks roughly into his mouth, holding him still for it, that pretty mouth, and the way he gives it up like he breathes. Abruptly, Adam tastes copper and iron against his tongue and jerks back, surprised. He hasn't lost control like that since, well, Chris, come to think. Tilting Chris's head back, Adam draws his thumb over the bloody lip and licks it clean as Chris groans, cock hard beneath the thin, worn jeans. Adam catches his lip between his teeth, finding the tiny cut, barely a scratch, licking it to open it just a little more, wanting one more taste, then reaches back to pull Chris's hand from under his shirt, pressing his thumb against the excited thrum of his pulse. "You don't want... I think," Adam answers, taking the leather bracelet from his pocket. "I've kept this for you long enough." Pressing his lips against the soft skin, Adam buckles it on and takes out his knife, flicking the blade out. Chris stops breathing, eyes fixed on the sharp edge hungrily, as Adam cuts his own wrist open, tangling his free hand in Chris's hair and easing him toward the bright flow of new blood. "You need this more than I do." He's had Chris before. The tiny bite was more than enough to reopen the connection in its entirety, and then Chris is greedily licking away the spill of blood before his mouth fixes on the cut, starving. Christ, Adam can feel it. A cold, endless burn like acid lacing through every vein that never stopped no matter how much time had passed or what Chris did, followed by Chris's helpless shame, humiliated by his own relief as it slowly eases off. "He can't stop myself. God, forgot how this feels," as he leans his head against Adam's shoulder. "Miss this," and almost subliminal, barely a thought. "Adam, Adam, 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 please." "There we go," he murmurs, nuzzling Chris's hair before wrapping an arm around his waist and gathering him closer, feeling the constant shivering begin to taper off, the constant sense of cold easing. "That's it, baby. Take whatever you need." He hasn't done this with anyone since Chris, and he'd forgotten how this felt, how amazing it was to have unfettered access to Chris, how easy it was for them like this. Stroking his hip, Adam feels the hunger easing into a softer burn, not quite sated, but easily bearable, even welcome, the hazy contentment growing up around it, blurring months of misery and anger and grief and loneliness. He's almost boneless when Adam pulls him off, licking his mouth dreamily for a missed drop before nuzzling into Adam's shoulder with a deep sigh. "Adam," he whispers, wistful and sweetly content now, and Adam catches his breath at how Chris feels about him, uncontained. He'd forgotten, somehow, how it felt for Chris to be in love with him, stripped free of the anger and terror and suspicion, just the bone-deep goodness of it, like coming home. "I missed you." Not just what Adam could do for him, but Adam himself, and he'd known that, but maybe he hadn't believed it, not when he couldn't feel it. Kissing his forehead, Adam tilts his head up, the wide brown eyes glazed over and soft, the lines of strain gone entirely as he smiles up at Adam in adoration. Adam kisses his nose, giggling when Chris laughs unself-consciously. Then his tooth in cheeks and that gorgeous mouth, opening him up slow and easy, tasting him, and yeah, God, he'd missed him, missed them. Feel better? Yeah. Chris's lips brush against his neck, nuzzling softly. They wouldn't let me through, Chris says dreamily, cheek rubbing into his shirt like a cat. I hurt them. They didn't get back up. Adam snorts. Someone will take care of that. Good. But the next ones... Chris trails off, looking uncertain. They grabbed me and I couldn't... I was so tired, Adam. Adam reaches for Chris's arm, looking at the darkening smudges circling his wrists from someone else's hands. After you go to sleep, Adam tells him, I'm going to kill them. Megan will help. She's surprisingly creative. If you're good, I'll show you when we're done. Chris nods drowsily. It'd be insanely easy to just pick him up and carry him back to the bus. But first, he wants Chris out of those clothes. They feel wrong and smell of other people, of someone dressing him, taking care of him that wasn't Adam. I have no idea how you can stand to wear any of this, he says. I mean, above and beyond being plaid. Get up so I can take it and possibly burn it. Chris stands up obediently for Adam to unbutton his shirt, letting it slide down his arms to puddle on the floor. Then the unpleasant, papery feel of the cheap t-shirt, the stiff, faded jeans and worn boxer briefs. Adam hisses softly. He can trace the last year of their lives like braille in the bone pushing up through the thin skin. When's the last time anyone reminded you to eat? The only ones here that remember or care about the necessity of food are also the ones that no longer need it. And Adam hasn't had to think like that since Chris left. Sorting through what he brought in from the bus, he finds an acceptable t-shirt, pulling it over Chris's head. I'll get you something. Do you remember what you used to like? Not really. Chris sighs in sensual appreciation of the soft cotton, fingers tracing the hem absently, as Adam unearths a pair of track pants that he can't actually remember buying. Balancing himself with a hand on Adam's shoulder as he eases the track pants up on his legs, he murmurs, No one ever asked. Adam pauses at that, tying off the too large waist before leaning in for another kiss, burying every question about the last year. He can wait for Chris to tell himself. Stepping back, he watches Chris shove his feet into his Converse with a wince. He likes seeing Chris in his clothes, always has. He loved shopping for him last time, picking out his clothes and then dressing him in them and undressing him, too. The old ones might not fit anymore, but that just means Adam can take him shopping again when they get back to L.A., and that's seriously not a problem. Chris shivers a little despite the warmth of the room, reminding him it will be a while before that dissipates entirely. Adam tucks him into a soft leather jacket as Chris leans against him trustingly, curling up beneath his arm and following him out to the bus, with security carefully keeping them out of the line of sight of either the crowd or stray cameras. Adam doesn't even realize he's been holding his breath. Which, hello, he doesn't really need to breathe, but it's not a habit he'll be giving up, like, ever. Until they're inside the safety of the bus, and Adam can tuck him into bed under every blanket he can find. Hey, Chris says urgently when Adam straightens, grabbing for his hand, the leather bracelet dark against his skin. Don't go. I need to talk to Megan, he answers, but he sits down anyway, because that can wait. Everything can wait. And call Allie before she flies out here herself, if the number of texts on my phone are any indication. Chris smiles a little at that. She missed you so much. Everyone did. They're so glad you finally came home. I know. Chris hesitates, uncertain. I'm sorry that I left. Adam strokes the mess of too long hair, watching the lines of stress softening, until it's almost like Chris never left at all. Go to sleep, he murmurs, easing Chris down until his eyes fall shut, slow enough not to scare him. He's learned how to do that in the last year. He's learned so much about what Chris needs. He'll do it right this time. I'm sorry I let you want to. The third time, he wasn't late at all. The house was empty, bedroom and bathroom and den. He tracks the scent of drying blood and sharp acid to the nearly finished basement and unlocked door. A deliberate trail dribbled through the empty rooms and over the cooling bodies of two contractors, missing nothing but throats, the contents of their pockets spread out and missing nothing but keys. He opened the door on the bathroom. The first thing they'd finished, an impromptu gas chamber, created from a windowless room with a bucket of bleach and ammonia perched on the sink. The floor was scattered with rust-edged broken glass and blood-stained fiberglass stripped from the naked walls. Nails drying themselves to the floor, empty bottles of paint thinner and drain cleaner, and even Windex when he got too desperate. And bile and clotted blood mixed with hair and unidentifiable lumps spilling from beneath the closed lid of the clogged toilet in pink and yellow-stained water. He's not sure how long he stands there, shocked, silent, and shaking, staring at the mirror, three lines scratched out in blood and bile that smells of them both. The first was this. 1:49.93.0628914.0.30.0. The second was this. 92. The third was this. I may not remember how to care, but I still remember how to want to try. There are things that everyone knows. Recovery is less than 1%. Everyone knows that. One day is less than 50%. 3 days is 0.06289% chance of partial recovery. Threshold exposure is 2 weeks, and no one's ever come back from that. Before Chris, the longest anyone had ever stayed away was 3 months after the 2 week threshold had passed, and recovery went to zero. Lil had been a mess when she came back. Chris had managed a year away after 2 weeks longer than that. There's never been a single death. Even suicide isn't an option for bodies that were stripped of their most basic instincts to sleep and to eat, much less the ability to die. That's how they were kept. Chris had known that. Everyone knows that. That didn't mean he didn't damn well try. Adam lets him sleep out the exhaustion of a year of relentless insomnia, feeling it lighten with every hour that passed, until the sharp edges of the hunger Chris had long forgotten how to feel wakes Adam up. Someone had delivered food for Chris, and reluctantly, Adam eases him back up until the brown eyes flicker open hazily, mouth already curving up in a pleased smile, and leaning into the slow kiss that's hello, and I'm sorry, and I missed you. Chris is easy like this, and it's almost like he never left at all, curling up in Adam's lap without prompting, opening his mouth obediently for every bite and licking Adam's fingers clean after, tilting his head back for a kiss to reward him when they're done. He doesn't even move when a tech comes by with one of the boys for Adam, his head against Adam's chest to watch with drowsy interest while Adam feeds off him and then sends him away, opening up for Adam to kiss him again, licking at lingering taste of iron and copper curiously. When you're stronger, Adam tells him when Chris frowns, get rid of him. I won't need anyone else. Chris kisses him again, licking away the taste of someone else, anyone else. He has never liked that, never. More urgent with every second until he's panting, pushing Adam back on the bed and shoving the bags aside, murmuring, I'm strong enough now. Sucking bruise into Adam's throat and grinding down on Adam's cock. Please, I want you, please. Fuck yes. Sitting up, Adam pins him to the mattress, stripping him to bare skin and nothing else, running his hands over every inch of slowly warming flesh, mapping the consequences of a long year away by touch, in the shape of two prominent bones and the fading ridges of now healing scars, licking along a vivisection line that's pale pink and disappears even as he watches, sucking each nipple hard and sore, tasting the hard, shiny remains of electrical burns until he can feel them softening, fading into memories that Chris will have no reason to keep. Adam will remember them, though. Every one. How could you... He stops, tracing along his collar with shaking fingers, the marks of rope and wire and more blades than he can hope to count. And God knows what else. He tried everything, everything. And just because he couldn't die didn't mean it didn't hurt. And Adam didn't feel it, didn't feel any of it. You can't do this to yourself. Why would you want this? Don't you know I'm sorry, Chris whispers breathlessly. I'd do anything for you. Adam cups his face, kissing that soft mouth and murmuring promises he'll keep always, always. I want to take care of you, and I love you, and I won't let anything ever hurt you again, and you'll never want to leave again. You won't even remember how to want to. And Chris murmurs, okay, and yes, and please. I want... Chris tilts his head back, gasping into the ceiling. Long thighs wrapped around Adam's waist and rubbing himself off against his hip, the craving and urgency running beneath his skin like electricity as his hands go everywhere, dragging down Adam's back in jagged lines of heat, playing with the nipple rings and shuddering all over when Adam sucks on his throat to smell the blood rise up and settle beneath the surface. Come on, come on! I want you! It's so different from being human. Able to feel Chris like this, knowing exactly where he wants to be touched and how, and more, how desperate he wants Adam, only Adam. There are faint, half-ashamed memories of fast and dirty hand jobs in dank, blurry rooms, meeting hunters who knew what Chris was, and that Chris took to bed in desperation, and hating every time they touched him because they couldn't get it right, even by accident. Of course they couldn't, of course not. He'd been with Adam for a month, and he should have guessed that what Adam had conditioned into him he'd never get from anyone else. I could have told you that, Adam murmurs in his ear, grinding down as he explores those memories, memorizing each face and each place and locking them away for later, later, when he can take Chris with him and kill them. Chris groans, cock jerking helplessly, slicking both of them. Yeah, you like that, baby? He'd gone with Megan to dispose of Lil's loose ends, and they'd both gone with Matt. He lets Chris see that, feel it too, and Chris whimpers, groaning helplessly. None of them share, and Chris should have known that before he let anyone else touch him. Of course you do, Adam croons, stroking Chris's hair back and nuzzling his cheek, pressing a kiss to the corner of his mouth. You love that. Chris nods, eyes half open and nearly black. Yeah. Easing up, Adam sits back on his heels, holding Chris down against the bed, legs loosening and falling to the mattress. Then Chris arches and spreads his thighs wider. Please, Adam, I want you now, please. And he's gorgeous, God, so easily, blatantly sexual. A perfect slut for this. Just for you. just for Adam, the way he was, the way they were, how Adam taught him to be with him. Chris opens up for his fingers, languorous and easy, tight and perfect, just giving it up and moaning at every touch. Adam would tease him until he fell apart, but Chris deserves this for being so good, for coming back all on his own. And he's already there anyway, rational thought abandoned for hedonistic pleasure, exactly what Adam wants him to be. Adam licks open his mouth as he slides inside, no resistance at all, easy. Oh, God, Adam, yes, and missed you, missed you, missed you, missed this so much. Fuck, Adam breathes, leaving that addictive mouth, swollen red and puffy soft, scraping his teeth down Chris's throat. Chris tilts his head back instinctively, offering it up, and Adam taught him that too, stretched in a long line, pale blue arteries pulsing thick and fast beneath his skin, in welcome, please, Adam. Adam licks the trail of one up to his jaw, then settles against the pulse point, feeling it throb under his lips. Yes, Adam, please, please. Before he bites down and feels the flesh break smoothly, blood welling up thick and hot and sweet. Chris arches sharply, breath caught in his throat as he comes in a rush of shocked joy that Adam drags out with every beat of his heart. He tastes incredible, endorphin-rich and druggingly good. Chris's hand in his hair tightens, threading through the strands and nearly purring contentment, whining a little when Adam pulls away, licking over the wound to seal it and cleaning the faint smears of red, before coming back to Chris's mouth, smiling dazedly when Adam kisses him, thrusting into the pliant warmth. You feel amazing, Adam whispers helplessly into his mouth. And you taste... There's no way to describe how Chris tastes. He could stay in this tight, perfect body forever. He wants to, with Chris clinging and radiating all that warm happiness. It's so good, so fucking amazing, and he can't imagine how he let Chris stay away this long, feeling the shock of heat down his spine and trying to hold it off. Chris kisses his mouth and chin and soft on his throat. Soft, so sweet, love you, please, Adam. And then he comes, groaning into Chris's skin. Chris's thighs tighten around him. Not yet, he whispers, sex thick. Just stay. And Adam grins and then reaches for his knife, cutting a narrow line just above the nipple for Chris to suck, almost coming again, just feeling that, cupping Chris's head, and this time, he can do so much more with Chris's wide-open mind, easing away the shame and self-hate for needing this, leaving just the happiness and satisfaction and gratitude, pleasure in how much he pleases Adam and how much Chris wants to please him, and how much Chris loves this and needs it and craves it. Adam waits until he can feel the heaviness of satiation before easing Chris back to the pillow, and licking away the smears of fresh blood until he can slide his tongue in Chris's mouth and taste them both together. Thank you, Chris murmurs, whimpering when Adam eases out of him, slick and wet, tender and sensitive when Adam slides his fingers inside him to get them wet, before smearing it over his open thighs and belly, mixing them together all over his skin so he smells right, like Adam and sex and warm pleasure. Adam, all that helpless, hopeless love and need filling the word. No one's ever said his name like that. Rich with so much meaning, protection and safety and relief and giddy hope that this is okay. Home, where he's safe and comfortable and warm and not afraid and not alone. Adam will take care of him. And take care of everything, and he can stop and rest and stop and stop and stop running and stop, stop, stop. I'm just so tired, Adam. Don't let me do this again. I don't want to remember wanting anything but you. Shh, Adam murmurs, feeling Chris's lips moving against his chest, soft, nudging him gently toward the sleep he still needs so badly. Last time, he hadn't been careful. But he was still so new at this, and none of them had known what the fuck they were doing. Chris, like this, this is perfect. And this time, he knows what he's doing, how to keep him. You won't, I promise. The end. Reader's note. So, in the heading of It's My Death, My Rhythm, My Arithmetic, Sepphoris mentions that the story she wrote could be loosely tied to an untitled comment fic she'd written previously, that they could take place in the same universe. So, of course, I read that after reading the main story, and then I was like, oh, it's the prequel! It's totally how Adam ended up the way he was. And I was like, oh, wait, hang on. I know that because she told me that, not because I inferred. Anyway, rambling. That story doesn't actually have a title, and it's comment fic, so it's not very long. But it seemed to make sense to me that that story should be in this podfic too. Okay? Okay. So, here's a little prequel piece about Adam before he finds Chris. Ready? Go. Adam pulled the chair out from under him, watching thoughtfully as Danny hit the floor with a broken moan. Before he can manage a full breath, Adam straddles him, putting his full weight on his chest. Really, Adam says. Is it really Christian to be this unhelpful? Danny makes a strangled noise, blood bubbling from between his lips, one hand raising in an attempt to slap. The guy can't even punch. Rolling his eyes, Adam knocks his arm back to the floor with a satisfying crack, just shy of shattering bone. He's getting better with this strength thing. Okay, this isn't working for me, Adam tells him, irritated. Danny's panting, and at this rate, will asphyxiate on his own blood, which isn't part of the plan. Shifting his weight to his knees, Adam watches as Danny gasps desperately, mouth slick. This is really too tempting. Come on, Danny. Pay or play, baby. But keep in mind, my toys wear out fast. Licking his lips, Danny shivers, eyes glazing a little. The thrall thing is tempting, but Adam isn't feeling the need to waste it on Danny, of all people. Ready to talk? Behind him, Adam can hear Allison making soft, hungry sounds, coming closer. Come on, Danny. Tell me where he is. I... No! Danny manages, teeth streaked red. Reaching down, Adam slicks a finger through the blood beneath his lower lip, amused at the way Danny flinches. Like that's gonna do shit. Adam, Allison says, eyes huge and dilated black, staring at Danny's bloody mouth. It's not a particularly edifying sight, but the blood makes it worth it. Still scare you, Danny boy? Adam breathes, licking his finger clean. You have any idea what I'm going to do to you? Don't! Danny squeezes his eyes shut. I don't know, okay? None of us know where... They didn't tell us. Bracing one hand on the floor, Adam leans forward, licking the fresh blood from his lower lip, tasting the sweet open wound beneath. Who? Adam says, unable to help himself. Danny opens his eyes, shiny, dark, and terrified, then shakes his head frantically. Adam almost sighs. For fuck's sake, does he think he's going to win here? Levering himself up, Adam grabs Allison before her instincts can take over, pushing her gently toward the door. He just needs another minute. As it closes, he thinks the lock shut, just in case Allison loses control again. That's just fucking cool. Danny scrambles backward to the far wall, pressing up against it like there's enough distance in the world to keep Adam away. Crossing the room, Adam crouches in front of him, tilting his head up until he can't look anywhere else. Danny, I'll tell you a secret. You're not going to die. Danny starts to shake, bloodshot eyes staring into Adam's in blank horror. Adam wipes another streak of blood from his mouth before licking his thumb clean. Slow, so Danny can watch. But I'll make sure you'll never stop wishing you could. Danny groans, low in his throat, shoulders slumping. Pleased, Adam tilts his head back further, stroking a nail along the long, stretched line of his throat. Now, tell me who. It took 2 hours from the moment Adam woke up to the time they got free of the tiny, filthy basement they'd been left in. Admittedly, an hour of that was spent freaking the fuck out, but that can be forgiven, Adam thinks. As a general rule, kidnappings don't end in a dramatic change in lifestyle. Fair's fair. Adam doesn't regret it. The little cult that pulled this shit, though? They did. And for as long as Adam could keep them conscious. As it turned out, 2 days and 15 hours was the limit, but that only took the edge off. 5 of the top 10 got hit, but 5 got away. And Adam stopped being pissed about what was done to them halfway through, and got pissed that they'd been stupid enough to lose the other 5. Because seriously, no. They should be in this together, and Adam doesn't see any reason why they shouldn't make that happen. By the time they stopped being fun and were just messy, Adam waited for dawn, and they carried what was left outside, dumping it before the sun had risen. Watching from the window, Adam thinks they may feel the burn of sunlight, but he can't be sure. Next time, when he finds the rest of them, he'll make sure they do. He's still new at this. He'll figure it out as he goes. Danny's mostly unconscious, but still somewhat more than useless. Leaving him on one of the basement cots, Adam finds Allison waiting, looking worried. Slipping her arm through his, they go up the metal stairs to the first floor, where Megan and Matt have taken care of an unfortunate meeting with some hitchhikers, with a little too much curiosity for their own good. So, he says, wiping his mouth. As it turns out, the mirror thing is a total lie. And thank God. The benefits are still outweighing the disadvantages as far as he's concerned, but not having a reflection would be an issue. Done with them yet? Megan shrugs, washing her hands in the sink before frowning at the bodies on the floor. Basement? Adam nods, tapping a finger against the table. Put them in with Danny, he says, finally, as Anoop lifts the body easily over his shoulder, boots dangling down his back while Megan picks up the second one. Don't want to let him think this could end well or anything. I hate to lie to people. 1 week and 16 unfortunate victims of kidnapping later, Adam thinks they have this pretty much down, at least the basics. What they don't have is somewhere to go that isn't a series of rural farmhouses that the cult members had helpfully given them directions for. And sure, there are trade-offs he's willing to make for this, but he's not giving up indoor plumbing and live for possibly ever with a population exclusively made up of hitchhikers, farmers, and the occasional dumb teenager. We can't stay here, Adam says, when Megan and Anoop come back. I mean, we could, but speaking for myself, no. Megan nods, nose wrinkling slightly. Anoop looks more dubious. We can't just go back to L.A. without knowing what's going on, he says, taking a seat at the small table, catching himself before his elbow gets in a pool of half-congealed blood. I mean, how would we... We go talk to one of the people who planned this. The cult's laptop had had some surprisingly familiar names in their email exchanges and on their cell phones, which really makes Adam regret that entire killing them thing. At least until he knew the right questions to ask. I want some answers, and we're sure as hell not getting them hiding out in the greater Midwest. Think we're ready? Matt says, but he doesn't look too worried. And Megan's nodding, hopefully. The others, Allison starts unhappily, scratching dried blood from the worn table. She misses them, too. How will we... Adam grins at her. I don't think finding them will be a problem, he says, bracing his feet on the edge of her chair. Megan straightens, leaning forward eagerly. Danny talked? Sadly, Chris' specific information was really lacking, but as it turns out, this is almost as good. When they got away, they went straight to Fuller. He'll know where they are. Allison twists around in her chair, eyes wide. Did you tell him? He didn't believe me, Adam says regretfully, then shakes it off and looks at the bright side. Whatever, I'm sure he'll believe Fuller when he explains why he set us up. And maybe what the fuck is going on. Megan frowns. We're still going to kill him, right? Adam may not regret what happened, but it's the principle of the thing. Eventually. But not until he begs us to. Standing up, he jerks his head toward the door. Outside, the sun is just sinking into the horizon, and even if he can't see it, he can feel it. Get Danny. It's time to go. The end. Again.